All right, hello everybody. Kelly Miller here again, Chief Operating Officer for NAMA, and welcome to our monthly maximum impact sort of best practices and Q&A call. We have a lot of ground to cover today. As you well know, we've been off to really just a gangbuster start for the new year, 2013. We're seeing, you know, all sorts of, buying in the marketplace, if you want to describe it as that. We're seeing lots of movement online with traffic and offline with traffic driving to martial arts schools. So it's a pretty exciting time right now, not only just to be a martial arts school operator, but to be an entrepreneur in general, a small business owner. You know, I think with the, regardless of your political persuasion, the sort of gridlock in Washington, the sequester, plus the continuing resolution before Congress right now just to keep the government funded past the next 3 weeks is sort of a perfect storm, and I think that you're seeing something. My analysis is that you're seeing something very interesting happening right now. The Dow Jones is at an almost all-time high. In fact, I think it may have eclipsed. I turned off CNN earlier today, so it may have eclipsed the all-time high of 14,200. Even in the face of all of this economic uncertainty coming out of Washington. And while some would argue that this is a, an indication of a broken system and there's a meat cleaver approach to these cuts that may or may not happen, may damage microeconomies here and there. But, I think the market is telling us something that's pretty interesting. And I believe what the market is telling us is that not only regardless of the gridlock in Washington, but in fact, in spite of it's us. It's the small business owner, the entrepreneur, the small companies, the people who employ, 61% of the workforce in America are non-farm small businesses, like yours and mine. We have our, perhaps in a small school, one or two paid staff members, perhaps in a larger organization, 10, 20, 30, 40, 100, paid staff members. And I think the market is showing us that we're pretty damn resilient, and we go out and figure out how to solve these problems. We don't sit around and wait for and hope that the government handout is going to come down to us, right? And that the quantitative easing, which now I believe we're on QE5, if I'm not mistaken, we're just flooding our economy with money. Inflation is around the corner. But you and I, the entrepreneur, the business owner, we, for lack of a better description, really don't give a mess, right? We're going to go out and make it happen. So we're going to go out and kick the bushes. We're going to go find opportunity where others ignore it. And we're just going to make it happen, It's part of being, one of the top 5%ers, the top 1%ers in the country. If you look at the martial arts industry just in general, it sorts itself out about 5, 15, 80. The top 5% of the schools are just hyperachievers, and the top 20% of the industry controls more than 80% of the revenue in the industry. And what we all are is top 20%ers, top 5%ers, top 1%ers, right? Our objective is, regardless of the economic circumstances, regardless of the gridlock in Washington, regardless of the CR, regardless of the sequester, we're going to go out and make it happen, right? We're going to go out and hustle. We're going to go out and make this work. Folks who sit in their school, sit behind their desk, and hope that someone walks in this week, they usually don't stay members for very long, frankly. They come in and they pretty much turn around and go right back out because our brand of, I guess you could just call it hustle, right? Our brand of entrepreneurship, our brand of go make it happen, just really turns them off, right? So everybody on this call, you're part of the circle. You're inside the circle, right? We are the ones who, regardless of the CR, regardless of the sequester, regardless of what happens in the macroeconomic circumstances, we're going to go hustle. We're going to go make it happen. We're going to go find the people in our community who not only can afford what we do, but in fact have a deep desire, a deep want and need for what we do. And we're going to make it work. We're going to make it happen. So, I think that's my perspective on what's happening in the general market, and with what we're dealing with in Washington, is I think the private sector just is tired of it. You know, we're going to go out and hustle. We're going to go out and make it happen. You know, Congress be damned. In fact, the less they do, in most cases, the happier I am, right? So I think that that's kind of what we're seeing in today's market and what we're seeing with how other market indicators are performing. So this is all good news for us, right? This is all good news for us who, you know, we who choose to be in the top 5%. This is exactly what we would rather have, right? We would rather have the weak ones, frankly, get flushed out of the market and leave all sorts of opportunity for us. But anyway, so that's, I think, number one. Number two is, right now we're moving into a very, very fertile season for marketing activities, and we're going to spend a good amount of our call today on kind of what's working, what should we be looking at over the next quarter in our marketing plans. But as you all well know, you know, the second quarter of the year brings a few opportunities that really suit themselves, lend themselves very well to our style of marketing, our style of really go hustle and make it happen marketing. And I think anybody, you know, anyone who looks at a calendar, if you're in the family market, and, you know, let me just speak to you for a moment, if you're in the adult-only market or the self-defense market, there are opportunities that parallel this. But if you're in the family market right now, we really, really, really need to be hustling. Lots of my peak performer members, lots of the folks in the inner circle right now, here's sort of the bullet point list, I guess, of things that you really want to be looking at right now today. So you should have a pen and a paper and make the list for yourself. But let's talk about just the family market for a moment. Right now, we have, over the next, you know, 2 or 3 months, we have holidays and high seasons that attract the attention of our target market. We have Easter, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these sort of higher, lesser holidays, I guess, than Christmas. But these sort of peak seasons of community interest. Every one of us, regardless of the market you're in, even if I'm in the adult market, it doesn't matter, every one of us should have a very comprehensive database of all of the local church groups that are in your area, all of the local community groups that are in your area. Every one of them is going to be having some type of Easter event, right? Something happening. Almost every municipality, every community will have, you know, somewhere between 1 and 50, you know, Easter egg hunts. You know, somewhere, right? There's some local park somewhere that the local, either the city government or the Kiwanis Club or the KCs or whatever the case is, they're all going to be doing these types of mass events, right? These types of community involvement events, whether it's the Easter egg hunt or the spoon thing or, you know, whatever, you name it. In everyone's community, there is somewhere between probably 3 and 4 and maybe 20 or 30 opportunities like that that will be coming up over the next 6 to 10 weeks. And if you're going to be in the top 5%, you've got to be building this database right the hell now. You know, it should have been done already, but better late than never. So you've got to have your finger on the pulse of all those community outreach, the community events. If you go back to the members' website and look at that 250 intros conference, where we describe the boost model. It's just one example, but it happens to be a really good example. Any place, any time, anywhere in your community where a group of 25 or 50 or 100 of your customers are gathered together, this is your opportunity, right? This is the type of opportunity that just screams from the rooftops that you should be taking advantage of it. My personal belief and my assertion is absolutely no NATMA member should ever be stuck at 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 enrollments a month. Just with that 250 intros strategy, that boost strategy, just with that should be generating 6 to 10, perhaps even 20 to 30 enrollments a month if you're out there using it maybe even just once or twice a month, right? So I know that Mr. Oliver with this too, and I know obviously he's working really hard on this type of stuff within the franchise organization, within the Inner Circle members as well. But right now I think one thing that I'd love everybody to have on their bullet point list is all the local churches and all the community events, all the community, you know, you know, facilitators. Again, Kiwanis, KCs, VFW, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but also the local city government. You should know exactly what they have on their calendar for the next 6 to 10 weeks. Every Easter egg hunt, I'm there. I've got my booth. I've got my team ready. I've got, you know, as Sasha described on the 250 intros conference, he has three or four teams of people who are all trained how to do this booth model. And on any given weekend, he might have one, two, three, four, five of these events happening. So number one, I think, is the big bullet point, I guess, for today, is I'm looking around over the next 6 to 10 weeks for every possible opportunity for me to go out and get in front of a group of 50, 75, 100, 200, 500 kids or families, right? Now, even if I'm in the adult MMA market, well, you know, all the kids that are at the Easter egg hunts have families, right? They have parents, you know? These are just big community gatherings, so it gives us that opportunity. I guess in parallel with that, there are also a couple of family movies that are releasing over the next few weeks. You know, there's always a couple of Easter movies that pop up here and there, you know, some Easter Bunny thing or, you know, whatever. So right now I think it's kind of a high season for that type of activity. Michelle, anything you'd add to that? I mean, I know that you've been, you know, really kind of beating up the franchise owners on this type of an activity. It's something that's, you know, really manna from heaven, I guess, if you want to describe it that way. It takes a little bit of hustle, but the return is just so much better than you can get with, you know, anything in mass media right now. You know, where would you perhaps go with that?
Well, I guess I might add just a couple of considerations. One is the world looks a lot different when you're a multi-school operator than when you're a single-school operator. And the downside of the big events is that they're controlled by people rather than controlled by spending money. And so if I were an owner-operator with 5, 8, 7 locations, or more, then I tend to look towards places that I can buy intros as opposed to places where I have to have people hustle, because the bigger you get, the harder it is to get a reasonable percentage of people to go hustle that hard. And in fact, in my case, for years, I had a separate full-time staff, not for many of them, but a couple people who were only doing things like that. Just because I knew the guys that I had in school, you know, were good at what they were doing, but they weren't good at, you know, at adding that onto their plate. The other thing I think that Garrett's really pointing out, because we have a lot of schools now that are MMA-focused, or jiu-jitsu-focused, perhaps they're targeting 20 to 30-year-old males, or, but I prefer 28 to 40 college-educated professionals. But In that market, you know, you're not out at the Easter egg hunt for those people, but there's frankly an awful lot of comparables. And so all you have to do is look through the local alternative newspaper to find everything from pool leagues to softball leagues to volleyball leagues to, you know, adult gatherings of various sorts to community organizations. You're looking for the places in your community, and there's a, you know, there's a big general list, but every neighborhood is going to be a little different. But you're looking for places where a whole bunch of them show up at the same time in the same place, or as an alternative to that, some place where, you know, they've already collected a list of people who fit your model, so you can go get in front of a bunch of them all at the same time. And so I think sometimes by trying to be specific, we end up, you know, excluding the group. But, you know, you've got to be listening to the concept. Let's say our franchise schools, if I'm looking for a median age of 7 and soccer moms and Range Rovers, and we talk about doing something in an elementary school, well, the same concept, exactly structured the same way, short of the way you're going to present the material to the audience, is exactly the same if I'm trying to get 30-year-old adult males to do grappling. So you've got to keep that translation in mind as you're looking at this stuff. so that you don't miss the opportunity. Examples of that certainly are referral generating activities. I know Elite MMA in Houston, one of the things they do is they have a big Woody Wild Wing referral event during the USM matches. Now, I'm targeting the soccer moms and rain grocers. Last thing I do is host a USC party. But for that audience, it's the right way to get to them. Certainly another way to get to them is through big employers. And there's a long list of ways to get those types of community activities deep. The other thing I think that goes untread, although in the live events we talk about this, is the reason that there's a difference between what we would tell a $7,000 a month school owner, a $30,000 a month school owner, an $80,000 a month school owner, a different communication, is that the value of time versus the value of money changes. So if I'm a school owner operator and my hourly wage is $500 an hour, I probably don't want to be out at the local carnival for 20 hours hustling for leads. On the other hand, if I'm a $7,000 a month school owner, if I don't have an awful lot of hustle built into what I'm doing, or if I don't have to have $100,000 cash in the bank from some other source, then my feet are going to sit there and stay small, or I've got to go hustle a lot to get to generate traffic.
I think I might even amplify the translation argument, because really, one of the particular benefits that I guess kind of collectively we bring to the table for schools of any style is that over time, all industries and also all subcategories, sub-niches inside the industry, suffer from industry incest, where you have sort of the same, whatever the number is, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 100, whatever. But you kind of have the same ideas that end up getting kind of passed around the table cyclically. And that's certainly really useful for incremental improvement, right? There's a slight tweak on the birthday party thing, makes it work a little bit better. There's a slight tweak on the referral thing, makes it work a little bit better. There's a slight tweak on this, slight tweak on that. And all that's very useful, right? But at the same time, a lot of the things that we're bringing to the table that perhaps have its roots outside the industry in general, and in many cases outside the specific niche. So if I'm at Aikido school, for example, and I'm a part of this sort of group, well, 99% of the stuff that you hear in this type of an environment is going to be completely foreign to the Aikido group, right? Like what they've been working on forever is, how to go into a high school and do a demonstration, right? And well, we all know that that's a pretty ineffectual way to kind of accomplish this stuff without collecting leads, without, these types of things. So I think in addition to just translating kind of that concept into your specific market, it's also important to really be focused on that, really be focused on picking up those concepts in general, because that's where almost our big breakthroughs come from. Incremental improvement comes from slight tweaks, to current concepts, current methodologies. But big breakthroughs come from taking something that's almost completely foreign to your specific operational paradigm, from your specific niche or your specific piece of the niche, and bringing that in, and it opens up all new doors. So I think just as an example, it's probably not a great example, but it just happens to be one that springs to mind. let's say 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I'm not sure, I can't exactly remember, maybe it's been 10 years ago now since you wrote that first internet book, that before
it was it was 2001, I believe.
So 12 years ago. So previous to that, nobody in the martial arts industry, nobody was using any kind of multimedia sequential direct follow-up from a website, right? In fact, almost nobody had a website that even had any chance of generating a lead, much less actually capitalizing on it, right?
Frankly, I would expand what you said. Nobody was using sequential multi-follow-up on any lead, online or offline. And frankly, unfortunately, that's pretty much still the case.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Unfortunately, outside of our kind of circle, that's still the industry norm, is, you know, somebody opts in or somebody, you collect a lead somewhere, and the typical, you know, bottom 80%er calls them once, maybe calls them twice, and then they fall into Luminous or a thesis. You know, never to be heard from again.
Or even worse, emails them and then, you know, doesn't do anything after that.
Right. So again, just as a conceptual lesson for everybody, that's I think infinitely important, and I think it even amplifies what you're describing. What you're looking for here is, yes, absolutely specific rubber meets the road. Here's what to go do tomorrow. But at the same time, what you're looking for are things that perhaps are foreign to your segment of the niche as it stands, things that maybe work really well in the family niche, and I figure out how to translate that into the fitness niche, or things that are working really well in the fitness segment of the niche, and I figure out how to translate that into the hardcore self-defense part of the niche, things that are working really well in, you know, the MMA niche, and I figure out how to translate that for my family school. This is an essential skill that it's an essential set of listening skills that you really want to be developing and always honing, because this is where big breakthroughs come from. So again, let's go back to my original premise that previous to 2001, before you wrote that the very first book on the internet, nobody inside the industry was using any kind of lead capture, sequential, multimedia sequential follow-up, and all of those strategies you had pulled in from, you know, you name the industry, but from mortgage brokers and from, you know, dentists and chiropractors and cosmetic surgeons and auto repair shops, and, you know, the top 5% in other industries. So just that as a concept has probably been worth $100 million over our members' lifetime and over our, you know, the franchise owners, things like that, people that have come directly from that lineage. So those are the things that you really want to be looking for. Absolutely, the rubber meets the road stuff is extremely important, extremely valuable, you know, really useful. Everybody should have the database. If I'm in the family market, every one of you, as soon as you get off the phone call today, you should go to Google and make a list of every church in your area, every community event in your area, and make sure that you go figure out what they're doing and become a part of that. And then at the same time, if I'm in the adult only market or the self-defense market, I'm thinking about how to translate that. So like you said, I'm looking at the alternative paper and I'm finding the club that meets once a month and discusses those types of issues or whatever the case is that meet that demographic profile. So
to give you some examples, like if I'm in the women's cardio fitness environment, right? So I'm running cardio classes or one thing or another. And what you've got to be aware of is not to get trapped in the I'm doing a lot of, you know, Groupon traffic, or I'm doing a lot of really social traffic, or getting so much search engine traffic that I don't do anything else. Because that's a sure route to death at some point in life. And in part, you get addicted to low-quality volume. But also, the problem is that stuff could stop working at any time. And I got to tell you, one of the advantages of 40 years in the industry is we've seen every different piece of the niche go through ups and downs. And I'm kind of beating the drum a lot recently, but you know, the family schools, the kids schools used to, if you had a big enough Yellow Pages ad and advertised occasionally in Bout Pack, you get as much traffic as you want. You know, now neither one of those sources work, obviously. And of course, you know, Google is the new version of Yellow Pages, but you know, it's great if I'm looking for a 30-year-old man right now. It doesn't work great for the family market. I mean, it works a little bit, but not fabulous. So the worst thing they can do is to get so comfortable with one or two sources of leads, they're not doing a whole bunch of other things. And you know, we're always a fan of direct response, not branding. But I will tell you, within a 3-mile radius, you should be so many different places that people can't turn left, right, or forward without seeing you. And you should be so established in the area that, you know, competition is irrelevant. That having been said, a couple of examples. Back when I was focusing on kickboxing for a while, is we had a joint venture with the Paul Mitchell shampoo distributor, and therefore a joint venture with a big percentage of the hair salons, the nail salons, and tanning salons in the metro area. And so we had a natural penetration into their email list, their mailing list, their customer base, free sessions out for all of their stylists and their nail techs and so forth. Then with the guest passes out to them, with incentivized rewards to bring in their customers. Well, it's about finding where the mass of the people are that fit your profile, and you really don't need to be and don't want to be trying to be all things, all people. I see this happen a lot, is they try to just go out everywhere and be everywhere. A character development for kids program doesn't need to be in a video arcade, and an MMA school doesn't need to be at an Easter egg hunt. They're targeting predominantly adult men, let's say. But you do need to figure out where the exact person that you want, if you had your ideal customer, where they hang out, and then go get to them in the most efficient way. So that's just one example, but if you go out in the adult women's market, there's all kinds of natural places that predominantly women in the right age group and the right income demographic hang out. And so if you go get to that group of people in the right way, then you're multiplying your efforts dramatically. And then you add to it the ideas of lead capture, sequential follow-up by email, text message, direct mail, broadcast voicemail, live outbound telemarketing. Then you dramatically multiply your results.
Yeah, and the number of those opportunities out there are really almost like infinite. It only takes a little bit of creativity, and then it sort of starts to flow more like a river than a stream, you know? And at some level, you actually start to kind of be a little overwhelmed with how much opportunity is out there, you know, with how many of these types of activities, places there are. And I know some of the highlights for me and a lot of our people family members outside the family market, not maybe both, but outside the family market, are even in online sources, there are all sorts of local community discussion forums on homeschooling and local community discussion forums on fitness and weight loss and local GNC stores and things like that. So those are really ripe opportunities for joint ventures. And again, this is a force multiplier. This isn't one of those deals that you go and get some deals done and it ends up being, kind of one enrollment a month onto the marketing plan. These are the types of things that are, sort of big hits. They're 10 or 12 or 20 enrollments at a time. And, the local Weight Watchers Club, which is always a really kind of fruitful thing for us in the schools in Florida, although they're a little tricky to penetrate, many of them sort of have blanket, no solicitation policies. But it's all about just creating a relationship with one single human being, the guy who runs the thing, or the woman who runs the thing. And that was always kind of a constant referral source for us in once a year or twice a year. I'm sorry?
You can stop and point something out. For somebody who is predetermined to be a failure, and that person will never admit it to themselves, so you can't ask somebody, have you just decided to be broke? But somebody who is predetermined in their mind that they're going to be a failure is every organization, I don't care whether it's the local public elementary school or private elementary school, the daycare independent, the daycare chain, the Boy Scouts of America, the Girl Scouts of America, the Weight Watchers organization, or anything in between. But a person who is predetermined to be broke, every one of those organizations has a national policy against anybody who looks or feels like us doing anything with them.
Exactly.
And I want to point that out because, let's go back to working with elementary schools in a multi-school environment. Is all of my guys who failed, the bottom 80%, would always tell me there was a district-wide prohibition against businesses like us working with them. And the guys that were successful, even if that was in fact true and it was written down in black and white and ink, passed by the board, supervised by the superintendent, it didn't matter because the local PE teacher, the local principal, the local PTO president, somebody became an advocate because we went and got them to be an advocate, and then they ignored the policy. One of the biggest results I ever had is we set up a little classroom and a booth at the Metro-wide Boy Scout Jamboree. And I can tell you, in writing, in the national handbook for things that the Boy Scouts can and can't do, is three things are specifically prohibited. Anything to do with motorcycles, anything to do with boxing, anything to do with martial arts. Doesn't matter. If you build the right relationship with the right people who know what you are, the right people ignore what's happened to be in a manual somewhere. But the people who are going to be failures listen to, absorb, and accept rejection easily. And fail to do the entrepreneurial thing of going at it from four or five different angles. The other thing, by the way, I would point out, you know, I sent that email out on Monday and got quite a bit of blowback. The email was, your website sucks. And it was to promote our series of webinars for members. And we really should spend some time explaining that and, of course, get time into questions today. But here's one of the ones that, you know, that came back to me was the guy sends me the link to his website and says, you're wrong, my website doesn't suck. And the failure mechanism next is that guy who sent me that email with that link to his website. Because rather than wanting to hear the message of ways that his could be improved, is he's just happy with where he's at. And the quote that I think it was Grover Cleveland that coined it perhaps first, but it was Ray Kroc's, you know, favorite quote was, you know, you're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. But what we've seen is an awful lot of school owners who get to their comfortable level of success. Then they plateau. And once you plateau, you start rotting on the vine. And
the level that you're describing isn't a conscious level of comfort.
No.
It's a subconscious level of complacency, right? It's not that this person, I think there's a really important point. It's not that the person said to themselves, I would be happy if I could just make $85,000 a year. And they get to 85.1 and they take a foot off the brake. That's not really how it works. What it really is there's some psychological preconditioning that happens to us while we're children, while we're growing up, while we're going through school. And we tend to believe, people like me, Midwestern, you know, public school, good schools, right? But, you know, Midwestern sort of salt of the earth people, there's a tendency to be wealth averse. And when people like me, when people that come from the environment that I come from in general, when they get to about 70 to 85% of the income of their parents, they tend to fall into this trap. They tend to subconsciously start torpedoing themselves because, my God, how could I possibly be worth more than my own father, right? How could I possibly make more than my family, you know, the generation before? So I think that's a pretty important point that I think everybody really, you know, really should kind of understand. This isn't a conscious decision to take your foot off the gas. This is subconscious. It's at a very deep level of belief. And it manifests itself in almost everything you do, everything you say, everything you hear, everything you allow yourself to do. And this is a big, 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 big area of breakthrough for people. You know, if you can start surrounding yourself with people who make 3 to 5 times what you think you're worth, you know, or these are the types of things that this is why our inner circle group and our peak performer group are so valuable to our members. It forces them into the room with people who are making an extra zero on their income. The people who are not making that extra zero start to realize over a very short period of time that they're really not any different than the other guys. The other guys aren't that much smarter. They're not that much more dedicated. They're not that much harder work. You know, much harder working. So
well,
I think it's pretty useful for everybody.
Well, and there's not an external reason. So a school owner who's making $750,000 a year now versus a school owner who's making $35,000, $40,000 a year. It's not that one of them went to Harvard Business School and the other one dropped out of high school. And it's not that one of them had a million-dollar family inheritance coming into the deal, and his dad was a McKinsey & Company or a Bain consultant. It's that one of them broke through whatever barriers they had, or perhaps, you know, were lucky enough not to have them to begin with, and then got first the right advice. Because, you know, the difference now versus 30 years ago is 30 years ago there weren't many voices of advice. You know, on my side, I got advice from Nicodemus and Ray Smith. I also got advice from my original two instructors. The advice I got from my original two instructors were, you can go play karate for a while and then get a real job. And, of course, from June Ray, Jeff Smith, and Nico Penis, it was, why don't you go to Denver and duplicate the Dewey Institute and have 10 locations and do a couple million a year. I chose to take the advice that was more empowering. But the thing to keep in mind is nowadays there's a cacophony of voices of people trying to be consultants. And, you know, most of them are either flash in the pan or really have a worldview that tops out at a limit way below your capability. So you've got to be extremely careful first who you take advice from, and then I think even more important is who you allow yourself to sit in a room with and who you let yourself use as social proof of whether you're doing well or doing poor.
Yeah, I think that's right. And again, if we're talking about breakthroughs, I think that's one of the things that's really important to force yourself to do is, you know, one of the bullet points that we've been talking about a lot at our Retrieve Success Academy World Tour events is that one of the big differences between top 20%ers and bottom 80%ers is that the bottom 80%ers are surrounded by other bottom 80%ers. By happenstance. You know, they just happen to be there. It's the people that live in their neighborhood, the people that they go to work with, the people that they hang out with, spend time with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There wasn't much strategic thinking involved in who they chose to surround themselves with. They just sort of ended up surrounded by other 80%ers by happenstance. Top 20%ers, and certainly top 1 or 2 or 3%ers, tend to choose their surroundings very carefully. They tend to choose the people that they surround themselves with. They tend to choose the environments that they choose to surround themselves with, very carefully. And I think a great example is, you know, our last Inner Circle meeting, we were in San Diego, California, at the Hotel Del Coronado. And I think at the very moment we were sitting in, you know, the meeting room at the Hotel Del Coronado, which had, how many rooms, Mr. Oliver? How many rooms does that hotel have?
Oh, it was a lot. I think it was
207.
No. It was almost 800.
It was 700 something. Yeah.
It's a big hotel.
Okay, so 700 something rooms, and at the very moment we were sitting in the lobby, which is very ornate, elaborate, beautiful setting. Again, you know the home of the rich and, you know, sort of the playground of the rich and famous. All 780-something rooms were completely sold out at about 550 a night for the cheapest rooms. And I will bet you, beyond any shadow of any doubt, there were hundreds of hotels all around the country sitting in various areas that couldn't figure out how to get somebody in the hotel with, you know, two hands, a flashlight, and a bullhorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that type of dichotomy, I think, that's really important. And the environment you choose to surround yourself with, the people you choose to surround yourself with, are extremely important and you know, do more to influence what your results are going to be than almost any other category. So I think that's extremely valuable. And just again, from a point of perspective, what you had just described, there are some folks who would listen to today's call and say, well, you know, each Roy cons don't apply to me because I'm in the self-defense market and my market isn't there. Therefore, this is a waste of my time. Therefore, I'm going to go and, you know, forget all this stuff, and I'm going to go try something different, right? Well, but instead of finding the value in the lesson, you know, and finding the strategic value of, of how I go find that specific market in that specific demographic in that specific market, they just totally miss the point. Same as your story with the guy with the website, right? It's extremely important that you manage that part of your own thinking.
Well, and in his case, I always say things like that is a little bit challenging, and frankly, a lot of times when somebody says they've got the greatest thing since sliced bread, I'm hoping to find out that they're right, because I wish I would be able to discover something new in situations like that. But in this case, I mean, his website did suck. I mean, what he missed the point of is that he had a very pretty site, lots of flash, lots of moving parts. Probably a WordPress template that had lots of nice little different, what do you call it, slides or pictures that, you could choose between one thing or another. But he had no lead capture. He had no drive to an appointment. He had no drive to a telephone call. I couldn't even figure out whether he had sequential follow-up from there, because I couldn't figure out how to give him contact information for him to follow up. So here's somebody who's very proud of the very pretty site that somebody, pitched him, but has spent no time at all on what is the purpose of this marketing mechanism they have. Is the purpose to be search engine optimized and to drive a lot of traffic to it? And if so, perhaps he's done that. I doubt it. But then once I drive the traffic to it, it's impotent if it doesn't capture a name, phone number, and email address, then it automatically follows up on them a whole bunch of times. And then a live human being follows up with them. So, there's a difference between being ignorant and stupid. Being stupid is you don't want to learn, and being ignorant is you haven't learned the lesson yet. And, we have a lot of people who are ignorant on how something like, say, the internet works until we start working with them, and then they become educated to do that. But stupidity is not taking every opportunity to learn, and every opportunity from an appropriate mentor to be taught what it is you need to know. And you said it already, Master Mallory, but the one thing I would add is that all of this comes in slight edge incremental improvement. See, rarely does somebody go from 5 enrollments a month, 50 on that first day, with one big idea that then blows the doors off. But if I'm a million-dollar-a-year school and I get 20 ideas that each are good for a 5% improvement, now I'm making real money. And if I'm a $7,000 school, I may need a lot more 5% improvements to get to where I should be. But a lot of times it's 20 little things, or 30 little things, or 50 little things, done 5% better, or yes, I'm doing 2 or 3 things to market, and really I need to have 15 or 20 things to market in order to make those kind of improvements. Hey, let's, since we have a members only call going on here, let's talk a little bit about tomorrow's webinar and the whole series that we're launching here. That's for members only, before we run into time. And of course, let's give everybody plenty of room for Q&A as well. But let's talk about a little bit before we go, and have to immediately, but let's talk a little bit before we go about what we're going to accomplish on the webinar tomorrow, what this is going to be designed for, but then what the webinar series looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, there's everybody should be up to speed on it. You should have received, a series of emails and text messages over the last few days, and we've been sort of discussing it the last couple of months. Here's basically the deal. Number one is, look, in 2013, your online presence is a vital component in every and any marketing plan. 97% of consumers who are looking for local solutions to a local problem are going to just go Google you, right? And Google is a moving target, right? Google is a very fast-moving target. And they've changed the way they do things pretty dramatically over the past, 8 months. And I mean, that's no BS either. That's not, I'm not trying to sell you an internet marketing program or anything like that. The way Google returns local search results has dramatically changed in the last 8 months, and it doesn't matter the attention or anything like that. But the fundamentals of what happens when we do get traffic to the website is critically important for you to manage appropriately. Your website nowadays, like you described earlier, is kind of like the Yellow Page ad of old, right? This is where people who are looking for you, this is where they're most likely to interact with you first. And there's two big problems that exist out there with websites and internet strategies just in general. The number one big problem is that almost everybody in the quote-unquote business of selling you a website, whether inside the niche or outside the industry, have different motives than you do, right? Their objective is to sell you the most expensive package they can and you know, make it pretty and flashy or whatever the case is, but sell you something that looks pretty to you or looks cool to you so that you're willing to pay the bill. And your objectives aren't that. Your objectives are, number one, to capture a lead, number two, to make a sale. That's it, right? Everything else is secondary to that. So regardless of how cool my page is or how many social integration, you know, deals I have on it or whatever, none of that matters. Absolutely everything is secondary to how much traffic does it drive in my front door, right? So the number one big problem that sort of exists out there is that, number one, and by the way, I'm not saying that people who are developing websites inside or outside the industry don't work for their money. There's no question that this is not an easy thing to do. We've debated this concept months and months and months and months and months and months and months. And the honest to God truth is it's a lot of work maintaining sites for people, and there just frankly isn't really enough money into it, and frankly for me to be very interested in it. But I'm not saying that people who are out there developing sites for martial arts schools and or other businesses aren't providing a valuable service. But what I am saying is this is now such an essential part of your marketing strategy that you need to move faster than almost any developers out there can, right? So if I'm, you know, Champions Way or whoever it is, I shouldn't have mentioned any names, frankly, but regardless of who it is, I have not yet ever found a site developed by anybody in the industry that I can't go in and make at least 200, 300, 400, or 500% improvement with on conversion of traffic. And I've looked at, you know, as well you have, we look at over 100 sites a month, right? And there just has never been a case where we can't go in and make dramatic improvements. So I finally reached a point of frustration, and I'm basically willing to just sort of show everybody, number one, if you so choose, how to do all this stuff yourself, right? How to, you know, construct a site. There are freely available content management systems now on the market that are absolutely free, that are so easy to use to develop websites around now that literally, if you can type a Word document, you can manage your site, right? And the only now I'm not suggesting you do it yourself, but what we're going to be accomplishing over this series is, number one, I'm going to show you exactly the strategy that we know that's working incredibly well in martial arts school, the A to Z. I mean, it's likely going to be somewhere between 6 and 8 webinars it'll take to get through all of this stuff. So I'm going to sort of peel back the curtain and show you.
Let me interject and let me give you the big school operator's success skill versus failure mechanism. And you know, you mentioned names. I guess I will too. I talked to a fair number of like the bigger, more established ESP schools recently, and what I have found is that, without exception, every one of them are completely ignorant when it comes to website and follow-up. And what has happened in their case, and these are school owners who have been making, you know, 150 to 250,000 net, maybe more, for quite a few years. But what they've done is they've contracted out to another company who is getting them some results, but and frankly, relative to what that company is being paid to do, is doing a good job for them, but the owners don't know what the results should look like, don't know what their follow-up should be like, don't know what they could overlay to make it work more effectively, and are only scratching the surface on what they could be doing. But they have chosen to remain ignorant and contract out to somebody that they think of as an expert but never understood it themselves. I over the years I've done a ton of video production, very high end infomercials, 30-second spots, promotions for renewables, promotions for national and international tournaments, everything between. But one of the things I did years ago is I went and took a week of video production classes from Sony. And on the second day of the program, the guy looked at me and says, "Why are you here?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you're never ever going to touch an editing machine and actually do any of this stuff yourself." I said, "No, but I'm going to be hiring a lot of people to do this stuff, and I want to know what it should look like and what they're capable of, and I want to know if they tell me it's not doable, if they're right or not, and really understand what the thing should look like." And, you know, in my case, from a standpoint of the Internet, I mean, I'm not going to go in and coding HTML, but if I don't know what it should be and know how it all works together and know what the pieces, how the pieces fit together, I don't know whether I'm getting good results or not. And take this other guy who responded to me again. I'm sure he's not watching Google Analytics. He probably, if somebody set it up for him, he doesn't know how to read it. So he doesn't know whether his site is doing a good job or a bad job. He's certainly not doing a good job, I'm sure, monitoring SEO and pay-per-click and all that stuff. And, you know, we know he doesn't have any follow-up because he doesn't even have any capture mechanisms. So you've got to be aware of all those pieces in order to be able to let them flow together.
Yeah, and I think how I define that is this. By the end of this thing, my two objectives are these. Number one is that since online right now is such an essential part of everybody's marketing plan, you've got to be much more nimble than anything I see out there available, right? You need to be able to put up a page today about your special self-defense thing that you're doing on Friday and drive traffic to the page tonight. And that's just simply not the relationship that I tend to see with developers inside the industry. What I tend to see instead is, well, you want another page on the site, you know, cost you $300 or $400 to have them go do it, and that's going to take about a month, and then, you know, you got to go back and forth with 10 proofs, and, you know, we need to move much faster than that. So the two objectives would be this. Number one objective is you're going to have the strategy A to Z to know exactly how to direct anybody in the world who would do this for you. So whether you want to contract somebody inside the industry to do these, and I've got a couple of people who are actually pretty good at it, if you give them the right direction, right? So I have resources I'll share with you too. But you've got to be the smartest person in the room when it comes to the strategy of this stuff when somebody's trying to sell you something, right? And some of it has to do with the technology that's involved, but most of it has to do with, you know, exactly what your objectives are and what we have so many websites out in the marketplace doing so much work in so many different categories that the mass collection of all that data and strategy gives us a lot of clarity on what works and what doesn't. And that's what you're going to be empowered with. So if you choose to contract out, number one, I'll have resources for you, but also you're going to know exactly what the thing should do and exactly how to direct the developer to get it done for you. The second objective is once the thing is constructed, and frankly, it'll only take us about an hour, hour and a half to build the entire thing. I've got all sorts of tools available for you. But once the thing is finally constructed, now you, the owner or your staff or whoever it is that you are going to put in charge of this project, have carte blanche access to do whatever it is you want to do whenever it is you want to do it. So if you've got the self-defense class coming up on this Friday, you can have a page up in 10 minutes and drive traffic to it in 15. If you've got a particularly notable media event that happened at your school or something like that, you can have the page up now and drive traffic to it a minute from now, right? This is the essence. The second piece of that, one of the things that is working relatively well in driving traffic for schools of all types, family schools, self-defense schools, M&A schools, is sort of micro-classified ads. And it's exactly the same strategy that we used 10 years ago in the local Penny Saver. You know, a little, you know, 1-inch by 1-column, you know, text-only ad that says, you know, does your child sometimes not listen? Call this, you know, go to this website, call this 800 number for the, you know, the secret to ADHD cure without medication or something like that, right? You know, something that drives a direct response to a web page Well, this now empowers you with that entire marketing channel. Because you can put that page up in 10 seconds. You can put the page up, you can write a Word document, put the page up in 2 minutes, drive traffic to it in an hour, and have leads coming through your funnel by tonight. Right? This is how internet marketing for a school can and should work. So, and again, that's a little bit more esoteric than perhaps what everybody would require. But just keep in mind the two primary objectives. Number one is whether you insource or outsource this work, I would suggest you outsource it, but whether you insource it or outsource it, you are going to be empowered with the strategy and knowledge to know exactly how this stuff is working at its optimum level inside and outside the industry. The secondary objective is when it comes to a sequential follow-up process, by the time we're finished with all this, you'll have systems in place that when a lead comes to your website, when somebody opts in on your website, you'll be able to get them into a sequence of email, voice broadcast, text message, direct mail, outbound telemarketing, almost all automatically, right? So it's a marketing process more than it is about any piece of technology, right? So that's sort of the objectives of the thing. And tomorrow we're going to walk through the entire strategy, A to Z. And then starting on Sunday, I think we're going to do probably a webinar, maybe two webinars a week to get this done relatively expeditiously. Then starting on Sunday, we're actually going to go into the click-by-click. Here's exactly how you install the thing and all that other stuff, you know.
So before you go on with that, is I would say for maximum impact members, peak performers in a circle, there are a fair number of people, and maximum impact it probably should be people, former Inner Circle members, but is the call tomorrow is really more for the general industry to give them a sneak preview. I mean, this is more our first intro, second intro for the program. It's not really designed to be meet for members. The webinar starting on Sunday night is designed to be meet for members. Is that a fair assessment? And so what we would probably be better suited to just let everybody know is they're always welcome to be, you know, a fly on the wall in any of these, you know, intros. And we've done quite a few of them recently with some huge results from the standpoint of participation. But from the standpoint of a key performer or circle member, is this is designed to show other people what members are receiving, not so much to give them, you know, content that's new. Now the stuff starting on Sunday night, the members webinar piece of it is going to be going to blow people's minds.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, the objective for Sunday is we really want to dramatically, you know, sort of elevate the common level of understanding of how all this stuff works in the industry, and we're starting with, you know, obviously our members that, this is how you lead a category, you know. This is stuff that literally nobody in the industry is doing. And the level of technical expertise that it takes in today's environment is really so small. It's unbelievable. I mean, you'll be shocked at how easy this stuff is. You know, in fact, here's my analysis of it is this,
well,
and I think this will be interesting for people. But
let me just give an example. That first book I wrote is, you know, in order to really do the stuff in that first book, you would have had to have spent probably $3,000 or $4,000 in software.
Right.
And had two or three different tracking packages to try to figure out your search engine placement, keyword analytic tools that were separate software packages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Used high-end expensive HTML development programs and so forth. Most of what I described in order to develop all of that in the book is free from Google nowadays.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You literally go in and get it for free and plug it in, and they're getting more analytics than you know, what were ever before available, and it's all free. So what happens now is, again, with a very minimal investment for any of this stuff, you can get an incredible package of stuff.
Yeah, it really is astronomical. And again, we're not going to get very techy. It's really all very pragmatic, very practical stuff. I think the thing to be thinking about is the most important, kind of the big rock, is the strategy. Here's what's working, here's not what's working, here's how you should think about this thing, here's how not to think about this thing. And really, right now, if your website is like a brochure, then I've got great news for you, because I can make you a ton of money, right? Because if right now your website sort of acts and looks like what a brochure would be, then, you know, we've got some clear sailing ahead, boy. You know, this is going to be a fun ride. Then the second part of it is the technical part, and really the only reason, frankly, to do the technical part is this. If you're going to be directing somebody to do it, I want you really to understand how easy this is, some of this stuff is, so that you don't, frankly, get led astray, whereas you've got to have the ability to update this thing at a moment's notice. If you're going to be good at this stuff, if you're going to go kick ass on the internet, you've got to be nimble, you've got to be able to move fast, you've got to be able to get stuff done right the hell now. And it's so easy to do that with today's technology. So it's going to be fun. I'm kind of excited about it just because it's been such a gap for so many of our members for so long. And we've just never really had, there just isn't anybody in the industry who's doing it right, frankly. You know, there just isn't anybody, there's not enough money in it for them to be very excited about it. There's not enough, you know, there just isn't anybody in here who's doing everything we want to do. And you know, unfortunately, we're just going to have to show everybody how to do it and give you all the tools to be able to do it quickly and easily and cheaply. And then we're really going to see who the top 20%ers are going to be. Because they're going to go out on Sunday night and have the website done already. You know? I mean, literally, they're going to be done on Sunday night. And then we're going to be talking about some, you know, really the fun stuff, which is, you know, now how do we drive a bunch of traffic to the thing and make the thing make a ton of money for you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, why don't we see if there's any questions at all on anything that's topical today? And I don't know if you have any emails or questions that have been come to you already. I do.
I've had a couple, and I just haven't actually had a chance even to read through here yet. But well, one question I did have earlier, I think sent through on Monday or Tuesday, was. It's a pretty technical question, like as far as like application process goes, but I think it's pretty useful, and it ties into what we were talking about earlier. It was Dave Reynolds, and he had sent over a question about he had gone and done one of these community outreach events, and you know, sort of like it was kind of like a trade show environment with a lot of people, and all that, and he executed very well. So he was at a trade show event and had something like it generated something like 180 something leads, right? And he was actually a little bit frustrated with that number because it was, self-admittedly, the way he describes it was he was standing in the middle of the hallway just kind of observing what was happening at the booth area and saw that his guys were doing a really good job of bottlenecking some traffic into the booth, but he only had a couple of people who were doing that. So while person one and two were engaged in moving traffic to the booth, a bunch of traffic just passed him, right? So I guess what I'm saying is he generated 180 leads, and he's a little bit pissed off that it wasn't 380. so, good work on his part, frankly, right? But here was his question. Now he has a new problem, and it's a problem that a lot of our guys are going to have to be dealing with if they execute that, if even partially well. He's got them all loaded into his sequential autoresponder email now, and he's having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to prioritize phone calls and things like that. What would you say, you know, they're relatively fresh leads, too. These are only about a week old. Less than a week old. So it was over the weekend that he did the thing. So what would you say kind of the big rocks are for right now that you could be working on this big, you know, this list of 180 new prospects?
Well, you know, I'm sold that text messaging trumps pretty much everything else hands down right now. But you know, if it were me and I had 170 leads and they had been captured over the weekend on Sunday night, they would have all gotten a text message with the intro time for Monday, Tuesday, a tiny URL lead link over to an intro video about the school, a either a phone number or a link to the opt-in page at your website for them to go capture more information, at the very least. So, you know, if it were me, Sunday night they would have gotten a text message. They would have gotten a broadcast voicemail. They would have gotten a postcard sent out to them. And by the way, once I have it all in an Excel spreadsheet or a Google Docs spreadsheet, which, you know, I would never do, but I hate Google Docs, but once I had them in an Excel spreadsheet or, you know, a Mac numbers, whatever the hell it's called, but, you know, I use Excel mostly. Once I had them in an Excel spreadsheet, I can text message them. It takes me about 5 minutes. I can broadcast email them. It takes me about 5 minutes. I can broadcast voicemail them. Takes about 5 minutes, and I can send them all a postcard. Takes about 5 minutes. So with about 30 minutes of labor, Monday morning a postcard could be mailed. Sunday night a text message could go out. Sunday night an automated robocall could go out, and an email could go out. And then it's about organizing the labor to do the brute force of actually, you know, phone calling. Now, what you didn't say in that question, Toby, is how many of those already had an appointment? And there is a differentiation because, you know, what I was very good at 20 years ago was going to an event and literally getting, you know, like lawn leaf garbage bags full of leaves. But then where it fell apart was in the follow-up because it becomes very laborious, you know, especially back then before all this technology, it was very laborious to follow it up. But what we now know is usually in an event like that, we can get anywhere from 75% to 90% of people who are going to give us a lead. We can get them to make an appointment on the spot. And now the follow-up is about confirming the appointment and getting additional information and dripping on them between now and then, not so much in getting hold of them to make the appointment to begin with. And that one distinction, by the way, makes a huge difference. It's much different than somebody, you know, dropping a thing in the field to enter the contest, you know, lead box model, versus you're chatting with them, giving them a little confirmation sheet, writing down when they're supposed to be there, giving them a map to how to find the school, scheduling them for Tuesday evening at 7 or Wednesday at 5:30, whatever it might be. That changes the dynamic dramatically.
Yeah, and he actually, his description is they did a relatively good job of setting all the appointments. You know, the other thing I think I would add to that, and I'm not sure if it's even adding anything, but if you sort of stitch together what we've been talking about with online, again, the ability to put a page up in 10 seconds or a blog post up in 10 seconds is really kind of one of the core pieces of functionality that you really want to have on your site, because you're at the community event, you can stand in front of your booth and record a little YouTube video in literally 10 seconds, upload it onto your website, put a little page up there with a link over to your sales page, or create a sales page just right there, just copy and paste your sales page right there. And you can text message them the link right to that page, and now you've got a laser-targeted message to the laser-targeted lead that you just met an hour ago, you know? So it's that type of responsiveness that I think is critical in this type of an environment. And the only reason I'm so enamored with it, and that, let's not say the only reason, let's say the two reasons I'm so enamored with that as a process, number one is because it works damn well, and number two, it's so friggin' easy, you know? Once you literally, you know, once you just kind of see how these pieces work together, you can literally stand in front of your booth, take the video with your iPhone, have it uploaded to YouTube, take the embed code, put it on your page, in like, I don't know, 30 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And see, now you've got some real, you know, you've got a really easy way to build a relationship with leads over time quickly that doesn't cost any money. I mean, this is all like free, you know? So I think that'd be the only thing that I would say, you know, to add to that. That was the only question I had other than today. It looks like I have one in for today. I'm going to see if I can get through it. But maybe we should open up. Anybody who has any specific questions about basically anything we've covered today or anything just in general, you can hit *6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted, and I'll read through this other question here while anyone who has anything specific is unmuted. But this is really sort of your opportunity. We always like to spend some time, you know, addressing specifically what your specific issues are on these Q&A calls. So just hit *6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted, and I'll look through this other one here as we're seeing that. Let's see.
No questions yet?
I don't see any unneeded folks yet. Okay, here's an email question. I'm not sure. I haven't been able to read through the whole thing, so maybe I'll just do it live here. It says,
Joe Hunsinger from Pennsylvania.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Toby. How are you doing today?
Hey, good. Good to talk to you, Joe.
Just a quick question. If there's, we could get an itinerary of the follow-up so I could do some planning for my people to assist me with this, because I have some people that are more expertise in this area than myself. That's my question.
Did he all right, Seth?
The timeline for when we're going to be held.
Yeah, I don't exactly know. Other than I know we're doing, tomorrow to Eastern is more of an overview, ever pretty useful from a strategic standpoint. Then Sunday evening, we're probably going to do something like 8 Eastern or 9 Eastern.
Okay.
We don't have an exact time. And then on Sunday, what I want to do, and actually I may do it tomorrow, and if you have any specific feedback about this, it'd be good for you to email over. What I really want to do is collect a large number of specific questions that people have, and also what their specific needs are. And we're going to kind of craft and figure out what the whole thing is going to look like from there. But what it'll likely be is every Sunday and every Thursday for probably the next 2 to 3 weeks, something like that.
Okay. Just something that I could put together here and coordinate. Thank you.
I'll have more details after tomorrow's conference.
And for everybody who's on the call, who's a member, this will all be recorded, and then if the owner is on the call or the webinar, and then they want to send a staff member to it as a reinforcement, they can do that. It'll all be recorded and available that way.
Yeah, and in fact, what I'm doing is chunking. I'm breaking it into about 5 to 7 minute chunks, so that if they have a specific development issue, they can take their developer literally by the hand and say, okay, do that, and point them at that video, and it'll walk them through click by click whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other question, not sure that came in. Oh, good. Thanks, Andrew. So the other question that came in here, let me see if I can read it live here. It says, what is the system to best support a student that has quit after they've upgraded to leadership? Attrition happens. In the past 8 weeks, I've had a couple of these one-line emails stating that we can no longer train for blah, blah, blah reasons, and when do I cut bait? The prepays are notified with the new refund policy, and my question is specifically about those who are paying $349 a month. How long do I ethically keep them active before I cut bait and let them go? And I don't have a signature on this, but that's okay. It's good enough. It's from Dojo USA. So this is attrition, somebody who is on leadership and then sends a one-line email that says, I quit. How do we facilitate that?
Yeah, and I think the question is talking about contractual issues, which I think is the last thing we ever want to address. And as I hear what the question is, if somebody sends you an email and you can't get them on the phone and they don't respond to other inquiries, and basically the email is, I quit, or I'm not coming back, or something like this. The last thing I would do is cut and paste the no refund policy out of the contract and send that back. To a great extent, almost confrontational. The other thing that I wouldn't do is I wouldn't lose any sleep over the contract at that point, because if somebody is on a 12-month, 24, 36-month contract, say $339 a month, and by the way, it's one of the reasons why maybe it's old-fashioned, but I still like using AMS or EFC or ASF or Member Solutions, or one of the billing companies, because I prefer to let somebody else deal with the financial part and somebody else be the bad guy. But the way I'm reading the question is, how long do I continue to EFT their checking account after I've gotten that email? Well, if they're contracted for 3 years, I'm going to keep EFTing them for 3 years until it bounces, and then go back to it a few times to try to get it resuscitated. But I think that's the wrong question. The right question is, what are the ways to take a student who's already mentally dropped out and get them back. We've got a lot of interesting boys there. But,
okay, I'll see if I can see this out again.
But what I would say is that, first off, is, you know, nicotine is an old line, that is prophylactic versus therapeutics, is it's a heck of a lot easier to do a really good job with people to begin with and really pay attention to their mental state, pay attention to their progress, do regular progress analysis with them, touch them on the shoulder, use their name 3 times in class, make eye contact with them, repetitiously in class, physically touch them. It's much easier to do all that stuff than it is to take somebody who's already mentally decided they're gone and 3 weeks later or a month later or 2 months later after they've made that decision, try to jump back in. So the operant focus and 90% of the effort should be on not letting people get to that point to begin with. Now, once they're at that point, then there's the question of, you know, what is it that has been, you know, methodically tested and proven to work in order to reactivate people? And I'll tell you, it's been a question that's been on my mind, a lot of big school owners' minds for 30 years on how to have some way to have a regular system or a regular way to automate it that somebody who checked out mentally to get them back in. And I can tell you it's a very difficult thing to accomplish, to the point that at some point getting a person who's decided to drop out back in is almost as difficult as getting the next new person in the front door. What I have seen that works, though, is, number one, doing a school newsletter, and of course we give everybody a pre-done template every month, is doing a school newsletter that goes to them by mail and by email every month so that they're aware of everything going on at the school. And then every time you have some kind of special event at the school, I don't care whether it's a Buddy Day or a Ninja Night or a UFC party or whatever it might be, is sending them an invitation. And where a lot of people end up is evolving to, by the way, this stuff is towards what's cheap or free. So they leave them on the email list, and I think that's a mistake. I would you know, nowadays, I would text message them invitations to all the different events. I would send them a color postcard. I would send them a periodic personal letter thinking of you. And so at the very least, I would want that all the people who were in my database that's dropped out going back, you know, several years, is I would want them to get an invitation to everything that happens at the school. Then I would want them to get the school newsletter every month. And then I would want to have some periodic reactivation special. Years ago, back when I was working with Jay Abraham, he had done this big, long, professionally copywritten Don't Be a Lone Ranger, 8 or 12 page letter that was designed to be a reactivation letter. I mean, you know, I don't know how many thousands of dollars was spent on putting it together, one thing or another. Well, it was used among all the top schools in that organization for a while, and it just statistically didn't get results. But the only thing I have seen that works is when they miss their Tuesday class, you get hold of them. You don't wait until you get the I've dropped out letter, and then you're on top of them on week one. Week two, week three, and then once they're mentally checked out, you leave them on the mailing list, and you constantly are getting newsletters and personal notes from you, and periodically you have somebody calling all of them to invite them to some kind of special reunion day or something. Something Dennis Brown did one time that actually worked fairly well for him. He had an alumni reunion event. So he had a big alumni reunion event and invited everybody who had dropped out in the last 10 years or so. And he actually got quite a few, you know, not only reactivations from it, but he renewed a lot of relationships with people, many of which didn't result in them becoming a student, but resulted in them getting involved with whatever company they were involved with, or school they were involved with, organization they were involved with. And it led to a lot of good referral and business opportunities as well.
Yeah, you know, I think the only other thing that I might mention, and you know, I almost hesitate to, perhaps shouldn't, but you know, a lot of the folks on the line, We do, in some cases, hesitate to talk about what we're doing inside the franchise organization in some cases. But we actually have a system in place called Building Successful Kids that exists in parallel with a student's membership inside the martial arts school. And this is one of the objectives of that program is facilitating what this question is asking, which is at the point that someone actually does drop out, and again, this is a little bit more esoteric, so I'll just speak in general terms, but the Building Successful Kids program is basically kind of like your NATLA membership for a martial arts student. So it's a series of direct mail contact, email contact, members protected website, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that is constantly delivered to the student, the end user, the student, regardless of whether they come to class or not, frankly, right? So once they have a membership with a local franchise school, they now are part of this Building Successful Kids program, and they're getting all this content outside of the martial arts school, completely automatic from the school owner standpoint. But anyway, they have this program that anchors them into the process. At the point of dropout, when a student does drop out, and again, attrition does happen, they continue to get the Successful Kids program, but they go into a special division. And that special division of the Successful Kids program is designed for dropouts, designed for people who are recently dropped out. And the content that goes out to them does what you just described. It resells them on the benefits that they originally were interested in. It resells them on the concept of why they should be a student and why they should remain being a student. And it also does a pretty, its intent is also to help de-escalate any emotional content that might be there, and also gives them a reason and an excuse to go back without feeling like they're out of place. So you know, again, it's something that perhaps we don't talk about very often inside this circle, but that's a system and a process in place designed to do exactly what this question is kind of describing. It's series of content that go to a customer once they've sort of mentally checked out that helps them get over that, you know? And in this case, it's kind of an automated thing that just kind of happens when a contract is terminated or if a person goes inactive for a period of time, this thing just sort of automatically ticks over and starts going to work solving that problem for the individual school owner. So it's another option that exists out there that you might want to be thinking about in the long run. So something like that.
Yeah, and the logic of that was that the only thing that we've seen 6 months, a year later, that gets people back in is to be constantly in their awareness so that when it's time for them to look for something new, they think about it. And so if you're constantly dripping on them in a positive way, and there's a great book, by the way. It's a series of sales books by Joe Girard, and he was, and again, it's world records, and he's the number one salesman of all time in car history. And one of the things that he did is every month, everybody who had ever bought from him got a card in the mail. Sometimes it was an Easter card, sometimes it was a Mother's Day card, sometimes it was a Christmas card, sometimes it was a Thanksgiving card. That basically just always said, "I like this." And they weren't active solicitations. They were just keeping his name in front of every customer he had ever served. And he had the biggest referral database of anybody in that industry and the biggest repeat customer stats of anybody in that industry, in part because he just nailed to everybody. And this is, you know, this is 20 years ago or 30 years ago. He just nailed everybody who had ever bought from him every month. And sooner or later, he was mailing, 70,000, cards a month or something like that. But it was well worth it.
Yeah, I think, and again, it is a difficult thing when somebody's mentally checked out to get them reengaged. But again, I think it's very useful to have a systemic solution to a systemic problem. And he's right; attrition does happen. And I think. You know, with today's ability to technologically automate a lot of this stuff and to think through it like this, I think it's a good solution to have available for folks to help kind of bridge that gap.
Well, and the other way to think of attrition is you've got to know what your numbers are. And It was a story, I forget, maybe it's one of Tom Peters' old stories, and they talked about a gentleman had sold a trucking company to a larger conglomerate and was still running it, and now the volume had increased like 20 times. And his way of knowing that there was a problem was he had a certain, you know, he had one of those old, you know, pins on his desk that hold messages. And anytime there was a problem or a complaint, a message slip went on, and he knew about, you know, how thick that could be, and there was a problem. But now the volume that he had, you know, multiplied by 20 times. And, so the consultants had come in, and the guy was all worried about it, all the problems, because it had multiplied. And he got in a little pen to hold the message things on the desk that was 20 times as big, and says, well, now, you know, use it as the same ratio. And the question is what percentage of your active count is dropping out every month? And I can tell you the very worst retention schools that you and I have talked to all think they have great student retention and great classes. And some of the very best that we've talked to are all freaked out and worried about and trying to fix the dropout rate. And I think probably the best I've ever seen, and I can count on one hand the number, are schools that are dropping out around 1% or less than 1% a month. And I think what we would consider to be really good is in the 2 to 3% a month range. I used to keep after the example a lot. And, you know, back when you was doing 100,000 gross a month, 50,000 net, everybody said he was a marketing genius. And the reality is, he was a retention genius. And he had 800 active students, but he only needed 20 new ones a month to stay even, where most people would have needed 50 a month to stay even. So the reality is, it's a very important number to know. And if you're at 5% a month, you're mediocre. If you're at 7% a month, you're pretty crappy. And if you're anything above 7% a month, you get into a problem. And so if you look across the board at the numbers, it's easy for us to get emotionally engaged in these things. And frankly, in this particular case, we should. We should be very emotional about anybody we lose. But the flip side of this is, if I'm at 300 active students and I'm doing a really good job, I'm still going to need 6 to 10 people a month just to stay even. And it almost doesn't matter which 6 or 10 people those are. There's going to be a ratio. Some of them are going to break their legs. Some of them are going to be out of town. Some of them are going to have, a stranger ran into a student of ours on that way in Marin today, and one of the best families you've ever seen. And all of a sudden, the kid has some kind of severe ADD, and he's on some kind of wacky medication, and the doctor said he can't go to martial arts. Well, you know, it would have been the last one I would have ever assumed to drop out, but if it's in that percentage and the numbers are right, on a business level, I shouldn't be emotional about it, and on a reality of working constantly to improve it, I should get emotional about all of them.
Yeah, I don't see any other questions on this side. That was the last one on my email list.
And we're out of time anyway.
We are. Yeah,
well, good.
The
only thing I would add, Matt Milroy, is that we're gearing up for that next Inner Circle Peak Performer session, and we're going to be coming up in Washington, D.C., in May, and I got to tell you, if somebody really wants to be in the top echelons of our chosen industry, is we have found there's no substitute for personal one-on-one support, and to have that personal one-on-one feedback and sounding board combined with the mastermind effect of sitting down with a whole bunch of other really sharp people and hearing what they're doing and having them go to work on their problem. And, you know, there's more to Inner Circle and Peak Performers than that, but I got to tell you, I think that's the two really key things, is staying plugged into what other $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million schools are doing and watching and learning how they have gotten to that point. And at the same time, having somebody like myself or yourself looking over their shoulder, watching the numbers, giving them feedback on the numbers. You just can't be that combination thing. So.
Well, and in fact, Mr. Robert, by the way, we have that member appreciation event on the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So on May 17th, anybody in the Northeast or within an easy flight to Dulles, we're going to be at the Dulles Airport Marriott, and it's Friday, May 17th, from 12 to 5, and then it's basically a five-hour strategy session, marketing, and some marketing content. But then after 5, for just members only, we have sort of a special kind of a breakout session, probably over a steak or something like that. But it sort of your opportunity for members in that area to kind of come out and you know, we'll do the day session, and then we'll break off to a quiet corner and spend some time really looking at your current business, your current operation, and finding opportunity there. And again, you know, both your and my schedule are very tight this year. You know, typically you're 10 to 12,000 a day to do on-site consulting. I'm 7 to 8,000 a day to do on-site. And this is an opportunity to kind of sit and do, you know, a couple of hour strategy sessions sort of one-on-one, you know, really for free. I mean, really, you know. So you might want to go to ExtremeSuccessAcademy.com and take a look at that. You know, we only have, I think, about 18 seats or 19 seats in that room. So it's something that, you know, we're going to be in town, we're doing this event, and we really wanted to sort of, you know, give back to the members in the area and do something kind of special just for them. So
exactly.
If you're close to that area, this is definitely an opportunity that I don't think you'd want to miss.
Yeah. Well, so, we're going to be going behind the scenes of the school there that Jeff Smith, Colonel World Kickboxing Champion, actually personally runs, and really paying attention to the behind the scenes of that operation. And probably the main reason to be doing that at that school is it's the most efficient school I have yet to see. They're the one that they're running 87% on average of everybody who enrolls ends up renewed. 90% on average of the people who end up renewed end up on the highest level leadership program, which pretty much doubles their tuition. So it's going to be an incredibly useful opportunity not only to see how that happens, but see how that happens through paid employees, not through externally paid employees. Hey, I've got to run, and we've had a great conversation today. Let's remind everybody, send us emails with questions or a pipe-up live at any time during the monthly conversation so that you can get your questions answered immediately.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody, thanks so much for your time. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, everybody. Talk to you soon.